and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 405. How are we all doing? Loving the chat, Kim. You outwitted all of them. Mike and I had pondered that, so I said, well, just leave it there. Someone will find it in the end. And they did. Oh, so Kim, officially first one in, although she's probably not there right now. We'll see, won't we? Hello, Alex. Hello, Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan's getting dinner ready. Does it involve gherkins, Jonathan? Oh, Kim's meeting ended early. Hello, Kim. Hello, Renee. Farm shopping. On your iPad a lot, not constantly. Oh, it's raining for Kim. It's been boiling hot here, Kim. Not liking it one little bit. What did he get to today? I think it's about 21. It's too hot. Far too hot. And this is only the beginning, isn't it? Oh, no, that's not good. Renee's had lovely weather. Yeah, you could take mine, Renee. And if Kim could send me the rain, that'd be fine. We could all swap. Jonathan has caught up on last night's show. Yay, the infographics were amazing. Lola's decided that Mike should be in the garden right now. But when Mike comes back, I will let him know that. I will tell him that. No gherkins. Oh, no. Simple pasta and pesto with Emmental cheese, one of your favourite cheeses. Oh, brilliant. What do we have? Oh, it was lamb today. It was lamb and vegetables, which is one of my favourites. Must admit, one of my favourites. Lunch wasn't quite so hot. Lunch was just sliced meat. But tomorrow is Sunday, so that means a full English. Yay! Oh, you see, Kim's loving the rain and chilly weather. I would be as well if I had any, but unfortunately I've not. I guarantee you, no joke, Jonathan will confirm this, if we have two more days of warm weather, there'll be a hosepipe ban. Because we've run out of water after about 3 days of even mild heat. Swear, that'll happen. Honestly, it will. Need to swap the battery in this remote as well, don't I? Bought the battery and then never got around to actually fitting it. But I will do. I will do. So were you tempted with Canva, Jonathan? I've got more on Canva next week. And we've got more on the Finder as well. Oh, so much in the Finder. But at least I solved the grey dot problem. Thank the Lord. That had rumbled on for ages. I thought what was broken was, apart from that, there were two different grey tags. What was happening was Pathfinder was allocating a different grey tag. So I had things tagged in grey, but then couldn't get rid of them because it wasn't actually grey. It was the other grey. Crying out loud. I think you might be tempted by Canva, Jonathan. Just think of the speed you could turn things around. You're always saying you wanted an easy way to do it. So start with a template and there you go. Ooh, let's have a look at Renee's picky. Where have I got this open? I'm weird here. Weird. Where's my Vivaldi? I've got Rome open in 9 windows. That's my issue. Doing my homework for book club, I am. Right, I can see that now. So let me get a new tab up and let me go there. Oh, wow. That looks like an albino kangaroo. Oh, good grief. Lola would want that. Oh, would she want that? She was so cute last night. You know, she was in the doorway. Wouldn't let me out during the show. Make sure that I stayed to the end of the show. Maybe we should send Lola around to Jonathan to keep him awake. What do you reckon, Jonathan? Renee wants Canva Pro. Ah! What have we done? Maybe we should approach them en masse and seek a discount. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Right, let's see what pickies I got last night. No, that wasn't the one, was it? It was after that. She was half doped, bless her. And she'd fallen unconscious on her toys with 2 dentist sticks in front of her. Seriously, I fell asleep on her toys. Right, what's that up there? That's weird. Oh, no, I know what that is. It looks weird, but no, that's right. Okay, let's see if I can get that one up there to share. do you know what we've just done for the show for Pie Request? This is a fiasco. Mike said, we need to play the national anthem. I said, oh, do we really have to? Can't we do Jerusalem instead, or Land of Hope and Glory, or something with a bit of oomph to it? So he said, well, with the other ones, we've gone in with the national anthems. I thought, darn it, we need the national anthem. So I went and had a look at the various versions, and I clicked on one, started playing it. Mike came in. He was outside at this point. He came in and he went, God, what's that? I said, it's the national anthem, remember? And he went, it's dire. I said, yes, but Mike, the national anthem's dire. We've discussed this. Anyway, I've got a version that's less dire than the others. Not least of reasons, because it's only 1 minute, 18 seconds. But other than that, we'll settle with the stuff that's decent. That's what we'll do. Right, let's get Cloud up open and get the link for that. Oh, she looked so dinky when she was asleep. I should say when she was finally asleep. But she needed all of her toys first. So there she is with all of her toys. Don't know about albino, but it's a kangaroo. It's very white for a kangaroo. I've never seen a white kangaroo. Have seen some kangaroos. We went to a zoo. I'm trying to remember where it was. Could have been Chester Zoo. And they were fantastic to watch. I've never seen a white one. Certainly not there. Jonathan would love a Lola. Oh, she's so adorable. She is. She's been very, very, very cute this week. I don't think she's not been right for a while. Just you know, you just can't put your finger on it. She's just a bit meh. But she's back on form this week, and you can probably hear her dragging Mike outside, playing with that football, the one that there's nothing left of. Luckily, we have a couple of other footballs for her, new ones that we'll dig out. You do think she'd keep you awake? Oh, her little chunnering, Jonathan, she would. She won't have you falling asleep. I mean, what happened this morning? It was so funny. I worked till about 6 o'clock this morning, and then I went to bed. So Mike and Lola got up probably about 8:30. So I'm left in there on my own. Anyway, Mike decides to come in, wake me up at 12 o'clock. So I got all of about 5.5 hours sleep. So Lola comes in and she's on the bed and she's at the foot of the bed. And I'm like, oh, leave me alone. Don't wake me up. And she keeps headbutting Mike's legs. So he's like, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? So he stands up. And as soon as he stands up off the bed, she jumps up like she's been shot, shoots up the bed and curls up on his pillow next to me. So Mike ended up in the dog's spot at the end of the bed. Too cute, telling you, too cute. She would probably love the swans and the canals. Oh, she probably would. She walks by the canal up here. Obviously not unattended. I think Mike got talking to two ladies there today. You know Mike and his women. But yeah, she loves walking up there. So there's a couple of parks that actually border the canal. But you've got to be careful. You know what it's like round here with the canal and stuff. But just look at her little face with her treats and her toys. That was her at the end of the show last night. So pretty much as I imagine Jonathan to be. Curled up with dentistics and toys, were you, Jonathan? Oh, she did look tired. She did. Kiva would never be so tired she'd leave a treat behind. Well, she's just spoilt rotten, isn't she? What's so funny is she's had the end off the brown one, which she actually had before the red one. But she's actually eaten half the red one. But I don't think she wanted me to nick her toys. So that's Chicken, Jerry the giraffe, and the squeaky bone. So she decided she'd sleep on it. But then she started snoring and moving. And as she moved, the chicken started squeaking and she slept through it. The rest of us didn't, but she did. So that's exactly as Jonathan, but minus the chicken. But you clearly had the dentistics then and Jerry. Oh, Jonathan, you need one. You do. You'd be a good doggy daddy. You would. She's just too cute. She is, really. But she's had a good day. What she done today is Mike had the fan on him to start with because he was hot. Then he put it on me because I was hot. And it's on the floor, kind of tilting upwards at me. And the next minute I thought, has Mike turned that fan down? And I turn round and then Lola's laying in front of it, blocking me from getting it, but she was enjoying it. Oh, you couldn't make it all up, could you? Well, I've been busy today, working my way through that Apple video. It's even funnier second time around. I'm weighing up, like, what percentage of the show was this and what percentage of the show was that this time. I'm at that point. And not good. it's interesting once you've read around it to go back. And there were like, you know, we talked about the colours, that you don't get the gigabit Ethernet at all on the other models. That wasn't mentioned. They did say it starts at 1,299, although they don't say 1,000 if you've noticed. It's 1,299. It sounds so much better. So they mentioned that, and they said available at 1,299 in four colours, but they didn't tell you which colours. So it was very much an afterthought, but I wanted to check because I thought, did they actually say that or not? But they did. And I love the way that they're banging on about the fact that the new cable, the new power cable, is MagSafe. When they took that off the laptops where it was actually needed. And I'm like, head desk. What's the matter with them? Oh, talk about make everything you don't want. There you go. Oh, Kim's right. You'll never be the same after you have a dog. They're just so loving, so giving. They're amazing. What would we do without little Lola? I remember the excitement when we saw her in the park and she wasn't even ours. She's like, oh, look at the Samoyed. I never thought that day she'd be our little baby, but she's our little baby. Amazing, amazing. Yeah, life does change, doesn't it? Although I did say to Mike, because we always said, I'm sure we've shared this before, we always said, if we're meant to have another dog, the dog will find us. And people looked at us like we were barking mad. And I just think, do you know what? If you don't understand that, you're not my people. You're not my people. I mean, yes, we could have gone out and we could have got deliberately, oh, well, we'll have a Sammy puppy. We'll have two Sammy puppies. But if there was a dog out there that had our name on it, then you wouldn't be having that dog if you'd gone out and got a puppy. So it was a case of, no, we'll wait and we'll just see. And then, of course, Lola popped up. But we did look after, well, I did, got an emergency call one day after Lola had had her puppies. And Lola had to go to the vet. So they were taking Lola to the vet. She'd hemorrhaged badly and she nearly died, actually. We were very lucky that she didn't. So she had to get her off to the vet. And some of the puppies had gone by this stage. There was only one puppy left. And she said, I can't leave this puppy at home on its own. And I said, and she knew, I can't put it in the garden or anything because it hadn't have had its jabs. I said, drop her off. I'll look after her. So this puppy arrived. She was like, oh, am I ever going to let this puppy go? And I actually thought, do you know what? Because the person hadn't turned up for this puppy. And again, I thought, well, if that's what's meant to be, that's what is meant to be. So this puppy arrived. Oh, good grief. It wasn't house trained. And I'm like, I don't remember doing the house training with Maya. And yet the house he came from was, oh, it was full and it was busy. It was like two bungalows next door to each other. The breeder lived in one and the breeder's mum lived in the other. And they had all this farmland. She also had kids. I can't remember how many. But the place was full of toys. The patio doors were forever open and they had the run of the garden. And I remember thinking, they're not going to be house trained. And Maya virtually arrived house trained and he was only 7 weeks. So the fact that this pup was about 8 or 9 weeks and wasn't, I'm like, oh dear. So I spent most of the morning running around after this pup. I was exhausted by the end of it. So clearly when they came to pick the pup up, I thought, beautiful to look at. Oh, but the house training. How long did it take you to house train Kiva? Maya just had it. He only ever had one accident, in inverted commas, in the house. Well, two. But one was towards the end. He didn't even know he'd had an accident, bless him. He didn't. But this one accident was no accident. He was at the door and he was, I want to go out. I want to go out. And he'd been out. He did not need to go out. So when we said no, he actually stood there in the power stance, only minus the andy-pandy pants, in the power stance and whittled all over the floor. He'd obviously kept enough back for emergencies because they whittle in episodes, don't they, Kim? So this is like, no, I might need to hang on to that. I might need to go in the garden again. Well, he got such a telling off, he never did it again. Only ever once. 10 days. That's not bad at all, is it? I mean, what they recommend now, was reading a piece this bloke had written, is that you take them outside yourself and you tell them to empty. You know, whittle, whatever, potty, go potty, whatever you want to use, you actually tell them to. Then you praise them like glory when they do it. And, you know, it'll take a week. It'll be fine. I was thinking with this pup, it's not getting it. It's not getting it. Oh, dear. You had a crate trained in 10 days. We tried crate training, Maya. Didn't end well. Oh, it was shocking. It was basically overnight we were going to do that. It was, you should leave him downstairs. You should put him in a crate. And I didn't want to do it. But, of course, sharing a house, you know, me, Mike, mum and dad, I thought, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to put him downstairs in a crate. Can't have him wandering around. So he already had a crate for travelling. So we put the crate in the kitchen and we put Maya in the crate. Oh, 3 hours later, I said, no, I can't take it anymore. I was done at 45 minutes. Everybody assured us 15 minutes and he'd settle down. No. It was three times that and I said to Mike, I can't take this anymore. I can't. So the crate training didn't end well. He was fine in the crate when we went out. No problem at all. It was in the back of the car and he was quite happy. In the house, no. No, it was not his den. He did not enjoy it. Do you know, I'm glad to hear that, Kim, in a way, that you were exhausted. The first 6 months you were exhausted because so were we and we thought it was just us. My mum's experience with dogs, I mean, my dad worked on a farm, so he had animals, just adored him. But my mum's experience was limited to dogs that belonged to neighbours. But my granddad would go walk these dogs. So they were half in their house as well. In those days, people just used to share pets. They were neighbourhood pets. And she would always say, you know, there was no house training involved. There was no this involved. There was no that involved. Yeah, you'd be fine. And then we got Maya and we were exhausted. Now, she did say, you buy a pup, it's going to be like a baby. Oh, she wasn't joking. I think Maya had been here about 8-9 days. And Mike had to take some holiday. He was that tired. He couldn't stand up. Seriously, it was that bad. You've all seen the picture of him asleep in the chair, haven't you? That was at the weekend. You should have seen him during the week. He's like, I've just got to sleep. It's 5:15. Oh, God, the clock's going off at 5:30. I need to go to work. So he did take some time off. He ended up sleeping during the day. And then we switched so he could get some work done during the day. And I looked after him at night. But don't ever take a pup on and think it's an easy job. It's not an easy job done right, is it, Kim? It's totally exhausting, but worth it. Obviously, Lola came kind of complete. So she knows when she wants to go out. She knows when she wants a toys and she knows when she wants a treat. And she will let you know all of the above in stereo if you ignore her the first time. But as you see, she's got very, very settled in the office. She hasn't been settled in the office at all. For the first year she was with us, not settled in the office at all. But now it's her first place when she comes in. Because there's a guy on YouTube, and when he does his YouTube videos, he's got like a dog bed behind him and the dog's usually on it. And I'm watching these videos thinking, do you nail that dog there? Because Lola's all over the place. Maya was all over the place. But Lola's taken to settling. So if I had the camera angled correctly, we could have Lola cam as well. I must set that up, mustn't I? We must have Lola cam. Every time Kiva took a nap, you took a nap. You've got to, though, haven't you? That's exactly what it's like. I think our other fear was Maya was so tiny. I mean, he was 7 weeks. He was tiny. You could pick him up in one hand. The first night, we slept downstairs in the front room. So there was a sofa. I think Mike had like a sleeping bag on the floor. And Maya was meandering round. We woke up the next morning and he'd gone. He'd completely vanished, which freaked the pair of us out because the door was locked. So it's like, where's the dog? I don't know. We had the room upside down. He'd actually managed to shimmy behind the sofa. We didn't think it was possible for him to get behind the sofa. You know, we blocked everything off, but we found him curled up asleep at the back of the sofa. That totally freaked us out. Remember when we lost the dog? Oh, I think we've got a picture. And I wish we'd have had a better camera at the time. But we've got a picture of him laid out by the door. And his front paws are like on the wall where the door closed. He isn't long enough for his feet to actually reach the other side of the door. And I swear within 3 weeks, he was the size of a house. He just grew so quickly. All the training has paid off now. Kiva's more polite than most people. That is true. That is very true. More obedient, definitely. If I say to Lola, you know, come back in and sit here, she will. Which, that's new to me. That's totally new to me. Maya never did that. You were fine with Maya as long as you wanted him to be where he wanted to be, and then we were all fine. But if you wanted him to be somewhere else and he didn't want to be somewhere else, then he was as stubborn as a mule. As stubborn as a mule. There really was no training him. And given the fact that my dad would give in to him as soon as he looked at him, we had like issues. But what was funny was somebody was watching what we were up to, and dad said to me, you know, you come over here or do something. Didn't move a hair. I said, oi, move. And he moved. And this woman said, oh, you can tell who's the pack leader here. And then laughed at dad. Dad was not happy. Oh, dear. I do know dogs that are quite aggressive with certain people. Like that guide dog that bit Rachel. It had almost finished its training. It shouldn't be biting anybody. It shouldn't even be thinking of biting anybody. Why on earth it would turn on Rachel, I don't know. You won't find anybody less aggressive than Rachel. And this dog turned on her. But some people bring dogs up like that, that they want them as guard dogs and they want people to be frightened of them. And that's the way they're trained, which is unfortunate for the dog, because then if the dog needs to be rehomed through no fault of its own, then it's a difficult rehoming job, unfortunately. Kiva is so smart, she watches me constantly and she knows every move I make means for her. Doesn't she also know when I do the sign off as well? She learns fast as Kiva. Do you know Lola's getting that now? She knows when we've finished. So she'll stand up and shake as we do the outro because she knows there's a chance she might just get in the garden at that point. They're just so intelligent dogs. They really are. It's bad owners, not bad dogs. I mean, there was that dog round here many moons ago with Maya. It was called Cameron, which was most unfortunate because David Cameron was Prime Minister at the time. And this woman had taken this dog on. She didn't have it from a pup. It was a rescue. Why they'd let this woman have this dog, I do not know. She insisted on walking it up the road and into the park, not on a lead. But she had no control of the dog whatsoever. And whenever the dog ran off and started causing havoc, which it did, it would challenge Maya. And Maya was really laid back. He was a gentle giant. But there's no way to like scrap back with this dog. But Maya was of an age where you felt you needed to protect him. And this dog was quite vicious. And you know, there's Mike stood in front of Maya trying to protect him from this dog. In the end, he had to carry a stick around with him. This dog was that bad. And people had complained about this dog to the owners of the park, the people who run the park. And all she would do with it, which, talk about ineffective, whenever it got into trouble like that, she'd shout, Cameron, Cameron, you're a very naughty boy. The dog just stood and laughed at her. I mean, the dog needed to be on a lead. Absolutely. Yes, tonight's theme is St. George and all things English, which includes any song with George in the title lyrics or the performer. So it's not as restricting as you would think. We have had a few funny suggestions. We've had some great suggestions. We always do. We always do. Yes, we've got those, Renee. I think Mike has put them in the spreadsheet. That's Mike's job. Mike does the spreadsheet. Which drives the whole thing. We built the whole solution in Notion, and do you know what? Didn't work like the spreadsheet did. Which is typical, isn't it? Notion's fabulous for 99% of things. Anything else, it needs a spreadsheet or Rome, one or the other. I've been deep in Rome today, and it's working beautifully. In fact, had a bit of a breakthrough today. So in Book Club, when I got my writing prompt for the day, I added it, because you know I'm a day behind. I added it, and the prompt was, what was the prompt? Let's go look at Book Club. The prompt was just perfect for today. I've got Firefox, but that's not Book Club. Where's Book Club? There's Book Club. Right, today's prompt was, I can confidently say that I am prepared to discover for myself my own personal Zettelkasten in Rome because. And the reason that was like, oh, I can write that right now, was I put today was the day. What day? The day it all came together in my Zettelkasten. I've added notes over the last few weeks and months, and as mentioned in one of the previous daily lessons, it's all been focused on input rather than output. And if I'd spelt rather right, that would be good, wouldn't it? So let me correct that typo. Today was different. Today was the day I was able to draw on all the work already done and generate new content from the notes I've made. Ah, and then a rabbit on about how fabulous that was. So today was a good day in Rome. Right, let's get the spreadsheet up and see how far Mike's got with it. Am I going to find out? Not far at all, Mike.
I've got quite far.
Oh, that's all right then.
I've been doing housey work.
Oh, housey work.
Housey work.
No, I don't understand housey work. I leave that.
No, but I don't understand network work. And TCPIP.
Why have we got a sheet in here called sheet 20?
I don't know. It's been there for weeks.
Oh.
It can probably go.
I don't think I know what that is. I don't think I put it there, but who knows?
We'll delete it.
Have done well with this. We've not got anything lined up, but you've done well with that.
What do you mean I haven't got anything lined up?
Some of the songs aren't in the middle, you know what I'm like.
The middle of what?
In the middle of the cell, vertically. Oh, we've got some fantastic ones here. We're starting with one of yours. I explained the God Save the Queen thing. It was all going to have to be done anyway. I managed to find one that was just over a minute, so that's
Bill
all right.
And Maura, loving the beautiful South.
Oh, good.
Has great memories for them.
Oh, good. Love the beautiful South myself.
Right, come on, settle down.
Lola, I've been telling them how good you are. Get in your bed. Good girl. There you go, you see. You just need to tell her.
You've got two dentist sticks there.
You've got two
Well, one and a half.
There. Yes. Give me another one. I bet you she'll eat a new one. She just won't eat the two that are sat there.
You're
right. Fickle,
aren't you?
Yes, Daddy. I am, Daddy.
Like your brother.
Yes, we've already had that conversation as well. Right, what have I got? Oh, look at that. Whore. Show them how good you are. Whore. Good girl. Other one. Okay, we're having the same one, are we? Oh, look at that. There you go. She'll eat that one. What you need to do with the other ones is pick them up and wash them. Where are you going with that? Going over there with it just behind Daddy. Daddy's not going to escape with that because I've pinned him down now. And I've got the dentist stick in two paws in front of her, gnawing away quite happily. That's probably because that was a Kim-approved dentist stick because Kim's here.
So Johnny wants the rainbow theme tune. La 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 la.
It did have George and Zippy. That's genius, Jonathan. I wonder if we've got it. Let me have a look in the system.
And Bungle.
Right, rainbow.
Would you like me singing it, Johnny?
TV themes. Oh yes, that's got it's got Zippy on the front. It's got Zippy. So let's have a look at it.
Paint the
Good
whole
grief!
World
one of these is only 8 seconds, rainbow. But the rainbow one is 2:47. There we go. 2:47. Shall we have a tiny bit of it? We have a tiny bit of it on here. We'll have more of that later. Right, consider it queued up, Jonathan. Oh, there's a compliment to Mike. When Mike was singing it, Jonathan thought it was the actual thing. No, that was just Mike. Let's have a look. Right. Renee did not understand the world of Rome. You are a graphics guy. Canva was great. Rome is... It's a weird note-taking app. Has anybody heard of Dynalist or Workflowy? Those have been around for a while. Now, I can't remember which one it was. I think it's Workflowy. Workflowy, I got some kind of one-year deal for free. You got 1 year free. And then, you know, you had to cancel it at the end if you didn't want it, which I did. It was like nested lists. And I thought, this isn't going to work for me. And it didn't. I just didn't get it. Dynalist, I believe, works a similar way. But I found out about Rome. It was one of those things, a bit like Notion, where something comes out and everybody's all over it like a rash and everybody's talking about it and the rest of it. And I went and I created an account because at the time it was in free beta. So I thought, might as well have a look at it. And I thought, I don't see why everybody's getting giddy over this. It was just, I mean, you saw it last night. It's heavy text based. It's like a wall of text. The only kind of structure that you give it is by indenting stuff. And again, that didn't make that much sense. One of their big problems, and this is quite bizarre, because the people who love Rome absolutely love Rome. hence the name the Rome Cult and the Romans. And the fact that Book Club is there to, like, introduce you into how best to utilise Rome. So this breakthrough that I had today was all to do with the block referencing. But I do agree with you. It can look impenetrable. And the only way that you can do it is to start using it. But the problem is you could use it for a month. And just about day 30, it might start to click because the power is in how you link things together. So what I was doing today was writing a piece. So I'm writing this piece up and I thought, oh, I remember at some point a few days ago, couldn't be more precise than that, a few days ago, I wrote some notes. They were just literally thrown together notes. They were just, I'm sitting down, I've done this, and I'm going to make a note of what I've done. And that you have to get into the zone of making what is called fleeting notes. And those fleeting notes are just quick and dirty notes. No detail, no links necessarily. Just what you're thinking in your head right now, put that down. And I did. Now, I have many moments like that where it's like I get so far with something, but I don't make a note of it because otherwise I'd be making notes all day. So you need to make sure that the system you have for taking those notes is totally frictionless, and Notion is not totally frictionless. If I wanted to make the notes that I made and it turned out to be the 16th, so 8 days ago, I would have had to have gone into Notion, located the notes page, added a note, added tags, manually added context, and then finally make the notes. By that point, I've forgotten what was actually making a note of, which could be my age, you never know. But with Rome sat there, it was easy to just throw the notes into Rome. I didn't need to put the context of the day or the date or the time or anything because that was already there. I put some tags on it, so in the future, it would appear automatically. So, you know, when we went to pages that were linked to other pages, because it was good that Carol was with us. Carol was actually putting in so you could see things happening bi-directionally. So as Carol was adding me, I could see that she'd added me, and then I'd added her and she could see all of that. And that's happening bi-directionally. So I put these notes in and I put some tags on and then just left it, just totally forgot it. I didn't go back later that evening thinking, oh, what notes have I made today? And what I should take them to the next level and I should put them in a system somewhere. I just left them. And then today it was, oh, there is a correlation between what I wrote 8 days ago and what I'm working on today. And instead of just going and moving it, that's not the way to do it. If you move them from where they were, because now you're writing this new thing, you'll lose the context of when they were actually made. So what I did was I did the magic block reference thing where I just referred to them. If I then go back and make any changes to that, anywhere I've referred to them will automatically get updated. But the power of the thing is mainly in you keep using it. So the more you use it, the more useful it becomes. And I can't say how many times have I said with Notion, the more you add into it, the more you have to manage. But the more you add into Rome, the more you've got to pull from. But you have to trust the system, and that's the thing. And I totally get it if you don't trust the system and you don't like the look of it. Because it's not the prettiest thing to look at. You can make it look amazing with CSS. I think in a couple of years, well, I think Rome have led the way in how all note-taking apps will work. If you think about what you've got in Evernote, you can make a link to another page, but it's all manual. You have pages and you have stacks and you have notebooks in stacks, and then you've got to organise the structure. You do not have to worry about any of that. But it really is a case of, like, you have to think of it as planting seeds. And eventually these seeds will turn into lovely flowers. But you have to wait for that because the system gets better the more you add to it. But I have been thinking about the genealogy thing. Got to have some scope for that. I need to find someone who's actually already doing that in the group. And surely there must be somebody because it's so popular. Kim says, I'm so dense it would take me a year working in Rome every day to get it and see the benefits. Oh, Kim, you're not dense. Rome is just, you either get Rome or you don't. But just in the same way, I mean, if you don't get it initially, that doesn't mean you'll never get it. It's just maybe something else speaks more to how your brain works. I actually sat there and I said to Mike, you couldn't do Mac Bites in it. And then I thought, hang on a minute. Let me have a think. I thought, oh, right, okay. You could probably do Mac Bites in it, but don't, for the love of heck, do it. Because I think something like managing a show with all of the metadata above the fold and then the detail below the fold, it's not optimal for that. Plus the fact you'd need it multiplayer. And I don't know how well it would work multiplayer. And plus the fact I don't think Mike would be able to find a thing in it. So horses for courses. You know, we would still put all of the MacBytes stuff in MacBytes. But what we are having to do, because Notion's had a few moments while they iron out the API, we have had to take a decision that 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on a Friday, just before the show, we have to fit in there putting all the links in to share. Because I'm prepping that in Craft. And Craft, I could actually just give Mike access to it and call it done. But we want to put that stuff in Notion because that's where it's been for the last 100 and odd shows. So we need to take that hour to transfer stuff and kind of finish it off so we're ready to rock and roll at 9 o'clock. So wherever I put that, it would end up in Notion. Notion's the best place for that. But as I said last night, I don't believe there's a multi-tool that actually does everything yet. Maybe one day, but not at the moment, I don't think.
Right, first four are in.
Okay, I'll sort that out. I've got the first two keyed up. And Alex has been tasked with looking into getting a logo for chicken breeders group you belong to. Wix seems a good site. Anybody experience of it? Well, there you go. Renee is a Wix web builder, so there you go. What more do you need? It's not really a logo creator. There's a few. Canva can do logos, and there's an app. Let me have a look. Let's have a look here. Where have we gone? Come on, over on this page. It's quite inexpensive, I remember. Now, what was it called? Logo. I'll know it when I see it. There's Icon Maker, Logo Maker, Design a Monogram. Nope, that's not the one I'm looking for. There it is. Logoist. Mind you, that's expensive. Logoist is very good. It's been around for a good few years, but it's $38.99. But it is very good in terms of making a logo. Was there a cheaper one? Design Evo Logo Maker, £10. £1.99. Logo Pop Lite, Logo Designer. So if you look on the App Store, there are actually, if you just type in logo, there are a good 10, 20 apps that are purely for designing logos. So they're not fully fledged graphics apps. They're a little bit like Canva, where you've got templates that you can work from and then make your own logo from those. The best one I've tried is Logoist, but like I said, it's not cheap. Every now and then, the company who do Logoist, let me find the name, Cinium Software. I rate their software. I use Screenium from them. So every now and then they will put that on offer and it could go down as low as like $1.99. More often than not, when it does go down in price, it's about 50% off. So you'd probably get it for about £18. If you go look at that on the App Store, you'll see what I mean when I say it's incredibly powerful. It is very good. That's the one I would recommend, but I appreciate that price is actually more expensive than Affinity Designer. But Affinity Designer doesn't actually make it as easy to make designs and logos as Logoist does, because Logoist does one thing and it does it well. But it is all its money for one logo, I suppose. It would depend. Right, let's have a look here. It's all so confusing. It is, Renee. Don't worry. We know who you meant. Kim tried creating a log in Devon thing and he's still not happy. Oh, a log of what? You've Googled what other genealogists are using and it doesn't work for you. Well, that's the thing. Everybody works in a slightly different way. And I've been using Rome. I won't say consistently, on and off. Every now and then I'm like, oh, do you know what? You should get back to Rome because it's so good. And I'm like, yeah, but then I need to put everything in there and then I need to share it with Mike. But I decided with book club this time, I would not do my usual, which is sit quietly on the sidelines. And I do. You know, I'm there for every book club and hardly say a thing. But what happened this time was there's some people in there, at least half a dozen, that I know from Build a Second Brain. When Build a Second Brain's just gone up in price, yikes. It's now a minimum of 1,005 up to 3,000. And if you want the exclusive one, that's 6,000. So yeah, these courses are getting very expensive. Anyway, I knew people from the last cohort of Build a Second Brain. So I'm sat there quietly, you know, just with my bag of pork scratchings, watching it like you would watch a TV show and not participating, because that's me. I can be quiet sometimes, you know. So there I am. And then all of a sudden in the chat, I get this, how Elaine's in. I thought, oh, what? And, you know, it lights up when you get a message and you're mentioned. And I thought, oh, it's Caramender. Oh, he's so chatty. And he gets so excited if I'm anywhere. I was in another thing about a week and a half ago. And I said to Mike, guess who was in last night? Mike went, Garamender. He's a lovely, lovely guy. He really is. He shares so much. So I couldn't then be quiet, could I? Because I had to go back and say hello. At that point, people were like, oh, where are you from? So you have to put in the where you're from. And then I got two people from the UK with, oh, you're in the UK, so am I. So ensued a chatting all night. So I decided with this one, do you know what? Embrace it. So I will do the reading on Thursday. I'll let you know how that goes. And I've got tomorrow to worry about. Now, tomorrow's a bit of an issue, the line of duty. Oh, what am I going to do? One's going to have to be time shifted. I think it's going to have to be line of duty this week, which is dicey. That's dicey. I loved Line of Duty much more when no one cared, when no one but me was watching it, no one was talking about it, and there were no spoilers. But I'm going to have to risk it, I think, this week. 6,000 for Build a Second Brain. Yes, Kim, yes. But the rationale behind it is, right, when he started, I think it was what some people would call expensive for a course. So maybe like $299, $299. That to some people is horrifically expensive for a course. So when you get into the realms of $6,000, it's like, you're kidding me. Their rationale is quite simple. At the beginning, if you were one of the early cohorts, and I wasn't, because it wasn't cheap then, it was about £1,000. There wasn't enough information about it. It was like, oh, what's going to happen? What do you get? Would it be worth my while? What if I don't use the right tools? You've got all these issues. But I'd seen that this course at the time was 1,500. And it came on offer on Black Friday and it was £600. And I thought, you know what, for £600, I'm going to do it. And what I got for the £600 was access to the previous cohort. So you got like a self-paced version online. And this was because the price reduction was one for Black Friday and two, it was... he couldn't do a live cohort, so he didn't want to charge live cohort prices for it. So it was £600. So I thought, I'll do it for £600. At that stage, when you signed up, whatever you paid, you got access to all of the future cohorts. This is the last time that that offer will be available at all. So if you want in the future, you might think, well, when I've done the course once, I wouldn't do it again. But the thing is, it changes every time because the people who are in there, they're your colleagues, if you will, your student. They're in your student cohort. But they will come back for the future ones and you will want to go back for the future ones. And every time you do it, it's different. So the first time it was on live, because I got it in November 2019 and I had a look at the videos and I thought, yeah, that's fine. You know, OK, I see where you're coming from. There were some nice diagrams and stuff. I'm fine with that. So that's where I was at. Then at the beginning of the pandemic, I think it was the first week in April last year, there was the live cohort. And I was fine for the first 3 weeks. And then it was like, whoa. And it just got too much. There was too much information to take in, to deal with, etc. So I was very glad that I was then able to do the October cohort, where I was like, I've got the first 3 weeks sorted. I need to concentrate on the last two. Plus the fact it was much more a chat-based, let's all do this together kind of thing. And you know, it was about 40 hours a week. It was an amazing amount of information to go through. But at the end of it, it's like, yes, I've got this now. I know exactly where I'm up to with this. Their logic is, the first cohort, which was, I think, about 2017, had 18 people in it. Which, if you think about it, a group of 18 people is a nice number that you would know each other. And there'd be enough chat, but not overwhelming. Obviously, more people have been interested in it as it's gone on. And the early people, the ones that did the early cohorts, they are invited to go back as well. So sometimes you'll get somebody coming back and said, oh, yeah, I was in cohort one and I've not done it since. So they come back for like a refresher. But the entire thing like improves and there's more content in it every time it's done. So the October one I thought was very, very good. At the time, he has a business partner and he has a different course. And his course is called Rite of Passage and it's all about writers. Basically how to build your system so it supports you in writing. So it sounds very much like a Zettelkasten. And because people are going to be very vulnerable in these courses, if they do all the exercises, there's a vulnerability in terms of how much you're sharing. They want to build into these courses the fact that you will finish them, that you are that invested that you will finish it. Now, if something's free, then people don't have to particularly turn up, do they? They are much more likely to turn up if they've paid. And the more that they've paid, the more likely they are to finish it. And that's what's happening in online learning. People are realising that they're putting their heart and soul into a course, creating a course, and maybe charging, you know, anything from like 37 to 297. And people are buying it and they're not particularly finishing it. But then they become very needy that they're pinging you every 5 minutes asking you questions and you're thinking, but you didn't finish the course. You know, the answers to these questions would have been in the course, but you didn't finish the course. So he took a deliberate decision, the writing course. The writing course last time was 5,500. And that was the starting point. And I looked at the price and I thought, whoa, that's gone up because I haven't done that one. I thought that really has gone up. And that was the rationale. They said straight out, we want people who start this to finish it. We want people who come into this cohort to be committed to this cohort and their cohort members, if you're with me. And that's what's happened. So, yeah, the price is now. Now, for the $6,000 one, you do get 1 hour with Tiago one-to-one. Whether that is worth double to you, I don't know. It wouldn't be to me. It wouldn't be to me. I think the value is much more in the other people who are in the cohort with you. So when I went into book club and I thought, oh, I know Caraminda. Oh, I know Carol. Oh, I know Nikki. And there was honestly half a dozen to somewhere between sort of six to nine people that I knew straight off. And then obviously as you go through it, then you make more friends and then they will turn up in other courses, like perennial course takers. But yeah, that's why there's such a price on it. It's the way it's going. All courses are going to end up like that. Oh, Alex is hooked on Good Fight now. Good Fight is very good, isn't it? I do like that. It can get a bit political, but I think it's high quality political, isn't it? And it just sucks a giggle with some of the things that go on as well. Oh, it could be me and Micah, your second brain. That's fine. Renee did not like Good Fight. I think it just depends. It just depends whether I remember The Good Wife and I remember some of the characters. And some of them have changed beyond belief. But I think the last series was a bit too heavy on the politics and not enough on like cases that you could follow through. A bit like LA Law. I think if it was a bit more like LA Law, that would be good. The Irregulars. No, I've not seen The Irregulars. I shall have to have a look for that one. Oh, and Line of Duty. Kim can watch the first four seasons. You'll start tonight. I think season four was my favourite. Season four, I particularly enjoyed that one.
Lola.
No spoilers here, but I think season four was my favourite. But I remember watching season one and I was just blown away. It was one of those dramas that it came on BBC Two. And when something comes on BBC Two, it's like BBC don't actually want you to watch it. because everyone's watching the other side. But I thought, you know, I'm going to give this a real go. And it starts off, let me think, how does it start off? Did he do a raid somewhere? Yeah. It starts off with how Steve joins AC-12. And I was on the edge of my seat from the first second it started. And that carried on to the end. And by the end of the series, I'm like, I need gas and air now. It's just amazing. Honestly, I think you'll love it. And if you're stuck for season 5, give me a ping. And season 6. Season 6 should be over, I think, is it this week or next week? When season 6 finish? Surely it's not tomorrow. That's a bit too soon. And what I did in the week, I rewatched everything. That's how I can tell you who's in what series. I rewatched all 5 series. Right, let's have a look. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Which one is it? Oh, no, it's the final part. Tomorrow. It's the last one tomorrow. Unless there's 7 episodes in the series. Hang on. Did I hear mention of there being more? There is. There's 7 in the series. Doesn't finish till next week. So that means 2 weeks. I've got to sort myself out, doesn't it? But it is a very good series. Can highly, highly recommend that. You might be behind the sofa at parts of it, but it's not that violent. There's a bit of violence in it, but it's not that bad. I've seen worse, put it like that. Alex mentioned George Formby. Preferences just a song. There you go. That's a fantastic thing, Kim. Renee started Line of Duty in the first minute, scared the living daylights out of him. Told you, it's good, isn't it? You gotta stick with it. Hello, Tracy. Your cadaver dental implant courses are cheaper. Wow. Imagine, I think with that, you're probably paying for the equipment and stuff. I would have guessed for that. It's just the way courses are going. And I can understand it from course creators, that you put your life and soul into a course and you do want people to finish it. It also impacts you if they don't finish it and then they blame you. Oh, well, it wasn't that good. Or I didn't learn this. Well, you didn't turn up. That's why you didn't learn it. So I can understand it, but I also understand that, you know, you really are dissuading people, average people, from doing the course full stop, which is quite sad, you know. But what most of them do, and again, I think this is quite clever if you think about it. If you look on the pages, so on Rome itself, obviously book club's free, but on Rome itself and on Rite of Passage and Build a Second Brain, there's a scholarship thing, a sponsorship thing. So if you literally can't afford it, you can pitch in for one of these scholarships that they've got. And I think the rationale of doing that for them is, you know, one, it's altruistic, but you may have somebody who is absolutely passionate, but literally just can't afford it. And they will, there's a certain number, I don't know how many, they do that. And who's the other one that does that? I'm trying to remember, because they put a thing out requesting applications the other day, and I can't for life me remember what the course was. No, well, if it comes back to me, I'll let you know. How do you watch series 5 in a week? Oh, 5 series in a week. Well, is it 6? So we're looking at 5 series times 6 episodes, which is 30 hours. If you divide 30 hours by probably 6 days, then I'm looking at 5 a night, aren't I? Which is probably what I watched. Each one's an, well, the last episode of one was an hour and a half, which threw me, because I thought, God, this is going on a bit. And then I realised it was an hour and a half. But I probably watched about 5 hours a night, keep me occupied while I'm working. But yes, I did. 5 episodes. Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah, about 5 a night. Who's rattled your cage and why aren't you eating your other stick? Because you want another one out of the bag. You don't want the one that's on your bed. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Shall we have a paw? Come on. Paw. You want to have that? Yes. She just doesn't want the two that are on her bed. What can I say? When I'm cleaning windows. Oh, yes, that's a good one. There are a lot of Trump mentions. Oh, in Good Fight there is.
I thought that was the name of a song from George Formby.
Trump.
Yeah.
Genius. Oh, genius.
Well, I'm following the chat.
The Irregulars is a new take on Sherlock Holmes books. Well, I love Sherlock Holmes, so I might do that.
Right, just under 5 minutes.
Okay.
We bang on eight.
$3 an episode? Really? I think it's about... If you buy it here, because there's certain services, like you can watch it on Amazon Video, Prime Video, and that's £1.98 an episode. But it's on the BBC iPlayer and it's free. So I don't know why anybody would be paying £1.89 in the UK. Have you got a VPN? If you've got a VPN, just watch it on the BBC, Kim. Take your VPN to the UK and watch it on the iPlayer, because everything will be on there. I think it's on for a year. I think all the episodes are on there. Let's have a little look. iPlayer. What was I looking up? Tracy's is a good one as well. Not Tracy, Tracy's. If you can VPN into the UK, there is a series called Traces. They are recording the second series as we speak in Manchester. And Martin Compton is in it, the guy who plays Steve in Line of Duty. That one's worth a look as well. Right, let's have a look for this. Yes, Line of Duty Series 6 will be available for over a year. So let's have a look at Series 5. When's that going off? Doesn't say. I'll tell you what. Available for over a year. So yeah, all six series of Line of Duty are available on the iPlayer. So just VPN in. Oh, you don't have a VPN. Oh no. We'll have to find another way to make that work then. Nelly the Elephant. Oh, what? Didn't somebody suggest one of those? Not Nelly the Elephant. What was the other one? It's a funny song. We love funny songs. I'm sure we can sort you out, Kim. There won't be a problem with the other two series. But watch the first four. The first four are stunning. Stunning. Five, I would say I didn't think it was as good. It was as good. But it was quite dark. Five came into its own the last two episodes. And six has been great. It has been great. Again, a bit of a slow starter by comparison to some of the other series. But fantastic. That's brilliant. If they ask for a postcode, you use Tracy's nans. They do, don't they? I'd forgotten that. They do ask for a postcode. Obviously, we've got a TV licence, so that's fine. We qualify. But you just put a random postcode in. Another one you could use, if you want it to be not associated with Tracy's nan, is Manchester United, M16ORA. M16ORA. Oh, Buckingham Palace. A lot of people use
my
Buckingham Palace.
My auntie did that when she was asked for an address after she paid for petrol many, many years ago.
That's what we do. What can I say? We're crazy. Right, I'm going to get my headphones on. Oh dear, they're wrapped around all sorts here.
I've had the same problem.
Do you know that last night I got the webcams out. There's two webcams on a stand. And I got them out. And I'm thinking, do you know, when I put these away, they were absolutely neat and tidy. Why, when I get them out, are they knotted around each other? They breed in the week and do things. But I can hear myself. So that's good. That's grand. 90210. I must admit, I did have one like that.
A minute to go.
I did have one like that. And I had to like write it down so I could remember it and put it in my one password. Oh, well, we've had a blast today. We'll be having a blast again tomorrow. And I hope many of you are staying with us to go into Brooklands by request, where the theme is St George and all things English. But anything with George, really. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.